Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy.
Dr. Michael Barish, a neuroscientist from City of Hope, spoke about a novel CAR T-cell therapy for patients with glioblastoma that makes use of chlorotoxin, a component of scorpion venom. He spoke in the context of a phase 1 trial that he and colleagues conducted, which demonstrated the safety and feasibility of giving the novel cell therapy to a small cohort of patients with recurrent glioblastoma.
First, what was the rationale for assessing chlorotoxin-directed CAR T-cell therapy for patients with recurrent glioblastoma?
Glioblastoma is essentially uncurable, unlike many other cancers. And part of the problem is that it's extremely heterogeneous, both within tumors and between patients. So there's no one target that is useful rather than, say, CD19 for blood cancers, which is pretty much universal B-cell marker. And the thing about chlorotoxin is that neurobiologists have known for a long time that this toxin will bind to most, if not all, glioblastoma cells. So it is a component of scorpion venom. So the scorpion venom has probably more than 100 components, and this is one of them. And at one point, people were screening these venoms to look for specific ion channel activity, and chlorotoxin came out of that kind of screen. The toxin itself is not toxic to people. It acts more like a chaperone for the scorpion in carrying deadly toxins into the nervous system of the prey. And it's been known that it's not toxic in humans, but it's been given for other reasons. So the idea was that since we could use it as the targeting element on a chimeric antigen receptor that we would express in the T cell, and that therefore it would bind to more glioblastoma cells in more patients than any other targeting entity. That was the rationale.
Thank you very much for laying out the context of your research. But mechanistically, okay, is there anything else that you want to say regarding the possible advantages that this T-cell formulation, CTLX CAR-T, may offer compared with other cellular therapies in glioblastoma or just perhaps other patient populations in general?
Yeah. Before I get to that, what I really want to say is that this was done in collaboration with Christine Brown, who's an immunotherapy person at City of Hope, and I'm really a neurobiologist by training. And we've talked quite a bit, Christine and I, about glioblastoma. And I had this idea that maybe we could use the toxin this way. And so it really started just as, well, let's try it and see what happens. And we were quite prepared for it to be one of those bright ideas that doesn't pan out and have it be that. But the fact that it went to clinical trial was really quite surprising to us. And of course, we were pleased, but it was unexpected. I think it's important to emphasize that Christine is half of the story. So mechanistically, the advantage is that it will bind, as far as we can tell, to more glioblastoma cells within a tumor, because the tumors themselves are heterogeneous, and to the tumors of more patients than any other recognition element we can think of that we could put on an engineered T cell. And that's why it's important. It doesn't bind with great affinity, but it binds with good avidity, meaning that it's extremely specific for the glioblastoma cells as compared to any other cells in the body. So that mechanistically is very important, obviously, because we didn't want on-target, off-tumor effects, which would be quite bad. And so that characteristic made it very useful for us.
I see. Thank you for getting a little bit deeper into the mechanics behind this compound. I know it's being assessed as part of this phase 1 trial. What did findings from your phase 1 trial show regarding the safety and feasibility of administering CLTX CAR-T cell therapy to patients?
Right, chlorotoxin CAR-T cells. We knew from other work that chlorotoxin was actually safe being given to humans. It never been used in this way, but people have used it to try and target glioblastoma cells simply as the toxin. And there's actually groups that are using it to fluorescently tag it and use it to make something called tumor paint, where the idea is that surgeons could then look for the glioblastoma cells when they were doing surgery. So we knew going in that we thought it would be safe, but you never know till you'll do it, obviously. And so we were very pleased that, in fact, we had essentially no deleterious reactions in the patients that we gave it to, and it seemed to do what it was supposed to do. Maybe not as strong as we wanted, but there was a reaction in the tumors of the patients. So you could see, in some advantageous cases, you could see biological activity within the MRIs, and you could see cytokine production indicating that the CAR T cell was active, you know, in the tumor. That was the most important things, I guess. There were no bad reactions to it. It was well tolerated in the small number of patients that we did. We saw the activity we wanted to see, which is that the patients responded when it was injected into the tumor cavity after resection. And so that told us we had biological activity, and it also told us that it seemed to be safe and well tolerated. The response was not as strong as we might have liked, but that's actually not the point of a phase one trial. Phase one trial is to show safety and feasibility, and that we did see.
I know you already said that it demonstrated tolerability. So in this case, would it be more tolerable or perhaps safe in its profile compared with other conventional strategies in this population?
Yes. So for example, there were no cytokine storms that you sometimes see with CAR T cells. We didn't see any off-target reactions, either in mice, because obviously we had to do that those kinds of studies first, or in the patients that we treated. So the specificity was what we had hoped of. And that's very hard because glioblastomas are so heterogeneous that it's very hard to find one target that will be applicable across many different instances of the disease. And in this case, it did what we had hoped it would do.
Looking beyond this early phase trial, what would you say are the next steps of researching the efficacy and perhaps safety?
We established the safety for the strength of the CAR T cell that we made. It obviously was not strong enough to actually cure the disease, which of course we'd love to do. So right now what we're working on is engineering different versions of the chlorotoxin itself and modifying the T cells that express this chimeric receptor, because there are many different ways you can engineer a T cell receptor to do that. And so I think right now, and we just used the toxin, the sequence was known, and we just used the native sequence of the toxin. So now we're trying to engineer it to have more power, greater efficacy, both in vitro studies and then in small animal studies. So I think that's our main purpose right now.
So essentially creating different variations of this CLTX CAR T.
Exactly. In other words, we're trying to come up with more powerful versions of what we already have. And because we use the native toxin, there's a lot of ways we can play with it to change it.
Is there anything else in terms of other research that you're conducting or any other next steps in the field that you're looking forward to?
I think what's unusual about this is that it is a component of a venom. It is a toxin that we used. And that is the first time that's been done in this context. And I think that it's proof of principle in a way that venoms of many invertebrates or even snake toxins are, in fact, very powerful biologically. And in a sense, evolution has honed them to be relatively specific. And neurobiology is very much driven by the specificity of different toxins for different ion channels. And that was the original idea behind the research that identified chlorotoxin in the first place. I think this idea that one can use biological products this way, I think very efficiently, and for something as heterogeneous as glioblastoma, it might actually be an example of how it could be more efficacious, and for other solid tumors as well. There are many examples of toxins that will bind to different kinds of cells, tumor cells, or immune cells, and have a positive effect. For example, against autoimmunity, there's a whole another group of toxins that bind to T cells and seem to have a preference for the kinds of T cells that are activated in autoimmunity. So this would be another way to approach that kind of problem. To use this kind of toxin.
I see. And overall, considering everything we talked about today, what do you hope others take away from this conversation?
Well, I think one should not underestimate the power of evolution. In other words, scorpion obviously has been around for a very long time. And somehow through the process of natural selection, this component of the venom became very useful to the scorpion. In a sense, it seems to act kind of like a chaperone of carrying other more deadly parts of the venom into the central nervous system of the prey. And so I think that strategy of looking towards things that are evolutionarily optimized, you know, for their own purpose, I think there's a lot there that can be looked at. It's very hard to beat evolution. I guess that's what I would say in a very casual way, that natural selection has made these kinds of toxins very specific. And I think there are others of them that can be used this way. So the fact that we could do this kind of first in human approach to using a natural product in this way, I think is potentially very powerful, very valuable. It's really a proof of principle that this is a way to go. And we think we can take this particular formulation of chlorotoxin and T cells or chlorotoxin, chimeric antigen receptor, into other kinds of immune cells. I think that's important. And the fact that it seems to bind to more glioblastoma cells and more tumors between patients than anything else. There may be other toxins that do that also. I don't know, but I do think there are other places where the strategy could be very effective.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.